All right, we're good.
We cool?
All cool.
All right. Are these mics on?
They are.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life and almost not making it to our deadlines. I'm Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes. And we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent... Oh, yes, we are. Oh, fuck.
It's good to have you back, Brandon.
Get married and go away for a couple weeks and... we're covering day-to-day... I just totally zoned out on what you were saying. We are covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts, and culture, communications, and the internet. I don't have anything to say there.
Excellent. Yeah. And honeymoons.
Honeymoons.
Let's start with that. Yeah. The first thing I had on our note sheet, I think, was Brandon's back! Exclamation point. And indeed you are. So it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah. We had a good time with our friend Aaron Flores stopped in last week and helped us out with the interview with Street Books. And then David Hetty the week before that helped us talk to Mr. Sadowski of the BTA. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but you, sir, we've done this together for almost a year now. Well, it's coming up on 11 months probably very soon. Mm. So,
yeah. Time.
That fateful day when we sat down in your bedroom and decided to drink and talk and see what happened. It was
That's
great.
Right.
Anyways, but we waxed nostalgic for no reason yet. We'll get there soon enough.
Yeah.
How was the honeymoon? Just in brief, you went to the San Juan Islands.
It was awesome.
Which is where I lost my glasses.
Real. You're going to immediately outflank any story I have with that one, because it's a really good one.
I'll stop now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, it was wonderful. Lots and lots of hard alcohol and arrested development and sleeping in.
Which is really the way it should be.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. My one of my professors, their family runs all these cottages up on the north end of Orcas Island, and we got to relax up there. There was a hot tub. There was not much simple about it all. It was...
It was pretty
luxurious and great.
Hot tubs are great.
Yeah,
that's the one concession I would make. Like, if I had to choose anything related to simple living that I would not give up under any circumstances, it would be access to a hot tub.
That's right.
Yeah, but I guess, well, no, actually, because you can go to like a hot spring or something and get the same experience.
Exactly. You can't bike to it. Mm-hmm. Very convenient. You can. It just
It depends on the hot spring.
And you'll need it by the time you get there.
Mm-hmm. I've never tried biking to Bagby Hot Springs yet, because that's the one that that's like the most popular hot spring location here in the Portland, Oregon area. You can't get to it by bus. You can't get to it. Well, you can get to it by bike. It's a really steep climb. So anyways, we'll see how that works.
But, it's a great ride.
Yeah. And at this point, we should introduce Lillian Carabic. Is it Carabic?
Carabic.
Carabic. All right. From the Portland Foot Podcast, from many... What other things are you from?
From many things.
Hither, yon.
Anything involving bicycles in Portland, pretty much.
Okay, there we go.
Formerly of the BTA and Shift, and one of the coordinators for the World Naked Bike Ride for the past
you were?
4 years.
Oh, nice.
And
it was my first year this year.
Oh.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pain to put together, I'll tell you that.
I would imagine so. Well, I mean, there's nothing fun about organizing probably
10,000 naked
size.
Drunk people riding
Indeed.
Through the streets at night. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what does it take to, do you have to, when you're putting that together, like I assume the route has to be permitted or at least vetted through the city and all the law enforcement officials and all that.
So essentially we won't pay for a parade permit because it's supposed to be a protest, and the police realize that this ride is going to happen no matter if anyone's organizing it or not. And so they are very kind.
Yes, they
and
are.
Donate us a parade permit.
Really?
And we work directly with the law enforcement to block off the streets for us for the ride. And they're very sweet. They just recognize that it is safer if they help us than if they don't.
Right.
Because you know, they need to get 10,000 naked drunk people through the streets on bicycles. So yeah, no, the police are great. They are really helpful with working with us for the ride.
And
so,
what harm are naked drunk people anyways, right? I mean, I suppose it depends on your naked drunk person and where they come from and what they have in mind. But the ones for the World Naked Bicycle Ride are just fine.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, the main thing is keeping the route under wraps until the last minute possible, so that the perverts don't kind of come out and set up.
True enough.
Set up things.
Really?
On the street. Yeah, they totally do. Now they can only come to the start location because they don't know where everything else is going to be. So we fence off the start location and like block.
I would imagine that's probably a good reason for secrecy. Actually, I had never considered that.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. We were actually a little unhappy because the police tweeted the route 2 days before.
Oh,
and we were like, we told you not to do that.
And there were cameras aplenty. I know that.
Yeah. Well, the cameras would have been at the start location anyway.
But, right. Right. It always happens.
It's not the people doing it on their cell phones like, hey, this is great. It's the people with the long telephoto lenses that are zooming in.
Okay. Yeah. I'll leave that one where it sits.
That's right.
But yeah, that must be exciting to pull that all together. Well, anyways, thanks for joining us here on the Sprocket Podcast.
Yeah.
Once again, it is the Portland Afoot Podcast. Is that the official title?
That is the official title.
Yeah, it's great. And you can go to portlandafoot.org or what is it, pdx.be?
Yes, pdx.be/podcast.
There you go. Yeah, it's well worth your time. And we were just talking before we started recording, the Portland Afoot Podcast is timed so optimally. It's about your average bus ride. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. So, Try to keep it short. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
And it's only once a month, so you know.
That's right. Yeah, it's not nearly frequently enough. But what can you do? No, I'm really glad you guys ventured into the audio version of reporting things.
So. I'm really excited about it. So.
Yeah, that's fun. We have beer.
We do have beer.
We got to get into this before too much more time passes.
That's yours over there.
I'm opening yours.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Being a gentleman and opening
open
my
it with
beer
your
for
teeth
me.
Or something?
Thank you.
That's
you
right.
Go.
Well, I have no doubt that she could if she wanted to, but... You want to save those for later when you do the
$10,000 worth of orthodontia. I really don't want to waste it with opening.
$10,000. That's pretty. You know, I have no idea. Thank you, Brennan. I have no idea how much my orthodontics cost, and I know like
they're expensive.
Yeah, I refuse. I guess I got them off in mid high school, and I just refused to wear my retainers, and so my teeth are about as fucked up now as they were when I was in high school,
right.
Like before the braces, which I probably to the consternation definitely of my mother and probably of my father. But my mom is the one that asked about it all the time. So, yeah. Sorry, Mom.
I still have a permanent retainer.
Do you?
It's going to be built. It's built into my teeth for the rest of my life.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah. It's a little annoying, but I've gotten used to it.
Okay. Well, so. I would imagine it probably helps. I don't know. I guess that it's a retainer as opposed to some other.
Yeah. It's still annoying, though.
Like a palate spreader or something. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I'm showing it off.
and it was
you
glorious.
Can just imagine it at home.
That's right. All of you listening at home. My last 2 weeks have been fun. I told you about the Sprocket stuff already, Brandon. We got settled into the upstairs because we co-house my wife and I and your wife and you now. Mm-hmm. And you guys are settling into your I'm not sure what to call it. I was going to call it the cave, but that sounds unjust.
Den? I don't know.
Yeah, the den. That's good. You got books down there.
Yeah.
There's books and dens. Unless there's bears and dens. That's the other kind, I guess. Here's the best thing that happened to me this last couple of weeks. I just remembered. We have that enormous bicycle trailer that we've used for various things. We took it to the East Portland Parkways, and you've probably heard about this through
the
Facebook.
This is
the
bike trailer
already.
That's about the size of like the back of a F-150.
Yeah, it's like... It's like 8 feet
by
4 feet.
It is. It's huge.
It's enormous. And so in the midst of this co-housing switch-up thing, you know, just switching floors and places to live, we found all kinds of things that we didn't want to keep around. So I was going to make a run to Goodwill on Wednesday of this week, this last week. And so I load all the stuff onto the trailer. And the trailer attaches to the bicycle by means of two bolts and nuts. So you put those on and you screw them down tight. And usually I'll use a couple of pliers, a couple of wrenches to make sure it's on there really tight so it doesn't fall apart. And this time around, I was like, oh, I'm just going to Goodwill. It's like 40 blocks away. I'll be fine. And so I just hand tighten them, which when you're dealing with rattling bolts, it's that's not the case. I'll tell you now. So save you the trouble if you get into this situation later. But but indeed... if you try and travel 40 blocks with a load on this trailer, this particular trailer anyways, the
made
bolts,
by a homeless man.
Yeah, it's true. A genius. But
mad genius.
Mm-hmm. It came apart and I was right next to, it was on Duke Street and close to 52nd, right next to the Jesus Light of the World, huge, enormous church temple thing over
they
there.
They have a pope.
They do, I believe. They're an apostolic order.
That's right.
But yeah, they... it was the groundskeeping lady who was like trimming the bushes across the street, I think, as I was rolling past, that witnessed all of this. The trailer came apart from the bicycle. So first of all, it lifted off of the hitch, and then it kind of veered to the right, and it hit the sidewalk. And all of the things that were on the trailer went flying. I had several boxes of glass implements, you know, like vases and kitchenware and that sort of thing. Also, a bunch of things that don't break, like knives and books and that sort of thing. But rolling pins.
It's comforting to know that there were knives flying.
That's right.
Those were inconsequential.
Yeah, yeah. So I was so tempted just to leave it right there on the curb. You know, like I was doing this between shifts or it was between shifts. It wasn't Wednesday. It was another day. Anyways, I was trying to get back in time to check in and go back to work for the afternoon. And I knew as soon as the load spilled that I would have no possible way to get back to work on time. And so, I was very tempted just to like leave it all as it sat, you know, shards of glass all the way through the bike lane. I would be a bad person for that, but I was very tempted. But then the lady that's doing the shrubbery trimming says, "Hey, I've got a broom and a dustpan and I'll throw away the glass if you want." So I borrowed her stuff and, you know, cleaned up the area as best as I could.
Wow.
I ended up tying the trailer to the bicycle with a Whole Foods reusable grocery bag because I'd lost the nuts. They'd gone flying who knows where.
That's ingenuity there.
Yeah, yeah. And I almost wasn't sure. I had no idea how I was going to get home in one
piece.
That
explains it. I got home from my honeymoon and saw the trailer sitting there against the bike but not connected and with a Whole Foods bag over the hitch.
That's right.
So
yeah.
What the fuck is that doing there?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you're afraid of that part rusting?
Exactly what the fuck it was doing, sir. That's what happened. So
it was a fixin'.
It was a fixin' to be,
It was a fucking a fixin'.
Goodness. So anyways, yeah, I got home, I put an ad up on Craigslist and said, "Hey, there's free stuff over here on Duke Street. Just come and get it." And I don't know if it was Craigslist, like people just saying, "Hey, free stuff," as many do.
Or if it was the Pope.
Or if it was the Pope or one of his little shrubbery clipping minions, or if it was there's also a very nice house that I was that I had this incident happen in front of. It was just amazingly immaculate, huge house, big garage, clean, very clean. So it's possible they got home from work and said, "What's all this stuff on the sidewalk doing?" You know, and they threw it all in a dumpster or something like that. Or maybe someone took it to Goodwill for me. But whatever happened, I came back after working my PM shift, and I was bicycling back home, and I went past that location, and everything was gone, like in the space of 3 hours. Huh. So,
well done.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any good karma I had coming my way or if it's just good times for some other reason, but that was fun. So, hey, how about news headlines?
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah. Oh, geez.
That's okay. I'll give you a moment to find the glorious sounder provided by local Portland band Hurtbird from their album project Nature Versus City. I believe that came out in 2010. It was a fantastic album. Have you heard that, Lillian?
I have heard it, yeah. That's good. We actually used Hurtbird as our
Oh, you did. That's right. This last episode of
the last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually... It was on my iPod, and I was trying to figure out why the song was playing because I did not remember putting that onto my onto my playlist. And then I was like, "Oh wait, other people know about this too." So, yeah,
I felt a little bit like I was the only one who knew about them too. So.
Right. Well, it's a good thing we're connecting now.
Yay!
Now no one else knows.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. Around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight.
And if you know this song, you probably understand that's an edit. Like, at no point if you buy the album will you hear the song exactly as it appears on this program.
It's true.
Yeah, so.
Which is also true of our opening and closing music as well.
That is true.
I just discovered this when I hit shuffle and was like, "Oh, it's our song. How the hell do you..." No, whatever.
It has words.
Yeah, I know. It's
weird.
Crazy. It must be the left signal, not the right. Does the left not know what the right is doing? So, first story, Taking the Lane.
That's right.
Taking the Lane. Ellie Blue briefly describes a rural bike community in California. Briefly describes.
Yeah.
It's just passing reference.
No, it's a short little blog post that she wrote. But she's been on a trip, I believe, connecting with folks. And I believe her other job is writing for Grist. Or maybe that's her primary job at this point. But yeah, she was just talking a little bit about this group of folks that they make vegan breakfasts, and that's what the article starts with. And then it's just some folks that say, hey, we live in the sticks in the middle of nowhere in Nevada County, California, I believe, or is it Nevada City? Anyways, they live far away from other people, and they use bicycles for their primary transportation, which is kind of cool. So, it's worth a look. Like I said, it's a short little bit, but it's interesting. So
great.
She did a zine recently too on bike economics, which was pretty cool.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's worth checking out.
Nice.
I funded it on Kickstarter and just got a copy, so
yeah.
I'm very excited.
She's pretty prolific, isn't she?
She's very prolific.
She's one of those folks that's just out there putting things into the blogosphere or the xenosphere or anything else.
She's seeding the cloud.
She's done so much more, actually, since she stopped working for Bike Portland. She's
right.
Spread herself around.
Yeah.
So. Great. Bike Portland's got, speaking of them, a story about new scenic bikeways approved by Oregon State Parks.
Yeah, this is kind of exciting because we have in Oregon State, there's the one scenic bikeway that exists presently down the Willamette Valley, and that's like from Eugene to, is it Portland? Or no, it ends at Champoy State Park, actually.
Yeah.
Just south of Portland in Wilsonville or near Wilsonville, just across the county line. Anyways, it's nice to have a route signed out so you can just go out and take your ride without having to fumble with maps and that sort of thing. And also knowing that they're choosing a route that doesn't put you on too many busy roads and you can just kind of enjoy the scenery and not worry about that so much. So anyways, three more of those have been approved, and I believe at least one of them was the Blue Mountains, and I don't have a list of them in front of me. If only we had an internet that we could check. But,
it doesn't work.
Pointing at the computer. There it is. It's pretty exciting, so that's a good thing.
All right. Next up, Bicycling Magazine by way of Ethan.
Yeah.
Is a cargo bike the coolest bike ever made? Probably so.
Yeah. And everybody knows that Bicycling Magazine is not necessarily, they don't spend a lot of time thinking about utility. there's a lot of, as Bike Snob NYC would say, craven bikes. And then there's also a bunch of Lycra. And, mm-hmm. Generally, the less human you can look while you're on your bicycle, the cooler you are in this publication, generally. But the cover story recently was about cargo bikes. And because Portland is such a progressive city as far as bicycles are concerned in general, and as well as there's a lot of cargo being moved by bike here in the city, a lot of locals were featured in the article. So it's well worth it. Well worth checking out. And that was sent to us by Ethan, who is he works with Pedal Power. And he was the fateful interview we were trying to record when our last computer kind of died. It didn't really die, but we knew we needed a new one after that. The computer just kind of dumped everything, shut down and dumped half an hour's worth of conversation. Then we felt terrible. So bad day.
That was a bad day.
That was a bad day. But Ethan was very gracious about it. He's actually going to be back on the program again later.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, we'll tell you that sometime later.
In the meantime, cheers to cargo bikes.
Cheers to cargo bikes. Mm. And to Ethan at Pedal Power.
Oh, yeah. Next up from Bike Portland, Rejuice Bikes makes incredible special function bicycles out of scrap. Ooh,
yeah.
I did not catch this article.
Yeah, it's one of the newer ones, I think. Maybe just in the past week or so, it came across my transom. And it was exciting. It was great. This guy, I believe his name is Johnny, and I don't remember his last name right now. I got to make better notes for news segments. Someday.
But the link is there.
That's right. Well, Johnny from Rejuice Bicycles, he builds these incredible machines. And up until now, freak bikes, you might see them in on Alberta Street at Last Thursday or the Chunk 666 thing back when they were together. Do you remember them? Were you ever associated?
Yeah. Chunk actually still exists at Reed College.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And they don't seem to understand that it doesn't exist in the rest of Portland.
The dream of the aughts is alive at Reed.
In typical Reed fashion, yeah. They think that Chunk only exists at Reed College.
That's fantastic.
Like, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear. I mean,
it's a student-funded organization. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, money from the student body goes to Chunk at Reed College.
Really?
Yeah. And they have a house.
Now I need to talk to these people. We're gonna,
what the fuck do they do?
They're Freak Bike Collective. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so someday when the car apocalypse happens, they will have all these wheeled machines that will get them from place to place and intimidate people.
Good.
Yeah.
In a sort of Mad Max way.
Right. And I think back in the day, they used to have like
the enormous
pilot fires, you know, in like the Northwest industrial areas as they were doing the Chunk Athlon. It was just a big bike circus, kind of like the Multnomah County Bike Fair, but with more beer and less law regard and a lot more excitement, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of broken glass.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. And I never actually even went, so I only have the reputation of these things to sustain me, but I loved the idea.
I've been to many Chunk events.
Yeah. Am I correct in saying that there were huge stacks of pallets and they were just on fire?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I went to a birthday party for a bicycle too, a bicycle that turned 10. I took it to bar and gave it a proper birthday party.
That's fantastic. I very much
its chains.
I did my first and last tall bike jousting due to Chunk.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It was first and it was last.
Yeah, I'm not well cut out for tall bike jousting. Sure. Well,
this sounds like a story you should tell us. What happened? Like, was it disastrous entirely?
Well, to give you a picture, I'm 4'11" and I'm a former figure skater. So my build might not be like the best for tall bike jousting, but I do have some number of years of experience of being thrown up in the air. So, you know, I was like, okay, this is cool. I've got this.
Your balance is good.
Yes, my balance is exceptional. Unfortunately, I was riding a tall bike, which most tall bikes are sort of like walking mechanical disasters, rolling mechanical disasters, if you will.
It's cobbled together.
And I was riding one that was even like lower on the normal spectrum of mechanical disaster.
It's the Selwood Bridge of tall bikes.
and I might not have been in the most sober state of my life.
No.
I think there might have been like 3 to 6 shots of tequila involved.
Okay.
And it was in south, like the Brooklyn neighborhood industrial area.
Oh, yes.
Like across from the glass factory.
Yeah.
And essentially I managed to get 2 flats in tires while rolling across and trying to shove a stick with a stuffed animal on the end into someone else. And the goal of tall bike jousting, of course, is to knock the other person off their bike, right? And you've got a big stick with something soft on the end to try to do that with, and you're wearing a big full face helmet. It was terrible. I'm not doing it ever again.
Okay.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah. I bet. So you went down, needless to say.
I went down in tandem with the other person, though.
Oh my.
So, you know, it was kind of a draw, but I certainly wasn't going to go on to another road. I fell into like broken glass, like drunk off tequila. Like, you know, it was sort of just like, oh, I could just stay here in this broken glass. It's fine. No one mess with me.
Not something that I would do again.
Yeah.
Well, good work and good for trying new things.
I'll stick to the extra cycle.
Yeah.
Long, but close to the ground.
Right. You know, I did not see your steed. Is it, I never offered to lock it up inside our shed, actually.
Oh, it's locked to itself.
Is it
out
okay?
There. I feel it'll be okay.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, you have an extra cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. That's what I ride. 20 miles
great.
A day on my commute. So.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. No, I love it to death.
Yeah.
It's my baby. Her name is Persephone.
Oh.
She's hot pink and yellow. And
that is hot.
Well known around the Reed campus because she's sort of distinguishable from far.
Nice.
Sometimes people will be like, I'll be chatting with Reed students, like 75% of them live on campus, and then the other 25% of them live within like a stone's throw of campus, and they don't seem to think that the world exists outside of like a mile radius of Reed College.
Right.
And they don't even hang out in Selwood, I hear.
Well, there's a couple people that live in Selwood, but they're really adventurous, right? And Selwood is like 2 miles from Reed College. So, and I live 10 miles from Reed, and I might as well live on Pluto.
Right.
For most Reed students. And
no longer a planet.
So occasionally I'll talk to people and I'll say like, oh yeah, yeah, I bike 10 miles, you know, each way to get here. And they'll be like, oh my God, that's crazy. And then I'll be like, yeah, I ride this big cargo bike. And they're like, that's your bike. I visit your bike every day. So yeah, she's well known. She's more famous than me. She gets like Valentine's notes and missed connections. Like, I've
right?
never gotten one, but my bike has gotten a missed connection in like the Reed student body email.
That's
4
adorable.
Times. So
yeah, well, best wishes to you. I hope someday missed connections will also go to you as well as your bicycle.
It's okay.
We were talking about Reed-juiced bikes. I just realized we had a large tangent, but the thing that I noticed on the Bike Portland article about Reed-juiced was there was several wonderful bicycle contraptions. One of the ones that was outstanding was like a bicycle that actually, I believe, contains a wheelchair. So if you got a friend who's mobility impaired.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's parked really close to where I live.
Is it?
All the time. Yeah. Oh, nice. And I've seen it like rolling down the street.
That's cool.
It's a hand cycle that like right. parks the wheelchair in the bike.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, aren't there...
It's mind-blowing.
It's not tandem, but like a dual setup, I guess, where you have like other riders on the same machine. So you've got one
And they're
fellow,
pedaling foot pedals.
Yeah, or lady with the hand cycle aspect. And then you've got a couple other folks pedaling and giving assistance.
And these machines all wind up looking like something that Dr. Seuss would have concocted.
It's true.
It's just amazing. Like, I mean, same thing, a big like phone... horn thing facing them, and
that's right.
It's parked next to the recycle bike, which is this like massive bike that has a big hole in the back to take to like group rides, so people will throw their beer bottles in it. And
right, which is better than leaving them around.
Right, right. But it's this huge bike. I mean, it's like the size of the room we're in currently.
Oh, that's fantastic. I need to see this in person.
It's a small room, but a big bike. Yeah.
Well, you got to come all the way to my neighborhood.
Okay, well, there we go. Yeah. I was just thinking the whole like, I do not like them, Sam. I am. We should try and. We could make like a video or something someday.
What the fuck are you talking about, bro?
Dr. Seuss and cargo bikes. Yeah, if you could somehow meld the two.
I really like them.
I like anything that involves Dr. Seuss and cargo bikes. I don't know what you're thinking of, but
if you could possibly.
I'm not thinking of
near
much.
The twain shall.
Yeah.
Meet. Yeah.
Maybe if I had one of those big stovepipe striped hats.
Next up from Bike Portland is the best e-bike ever, the IDEO / Rock Lobster Oregon Manifest entry.
Did you see this?
Was this the one that had like the
double top tube? Yes.
Yeah. That was a cool, classy bike.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite, but I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good looking machine. The idea is that it's an e-bike. And so if you're carrying cargo, sometimes... either you don't have the leg strength to move the stuff that you're carrying, or it would be much more efficient and timely to get it there with an electric assist. So this bike had batteries entirely integrated into the frame of the bike itself. So instead of having, like some of them have a large battery pack on the rear rack or something like that, this one just has like, I guess, Macintosh batteries or something, you know, cut in half and like shoved into the tube, and there it is. So it's much more integrated. It's still heavy, I'm sure, but it's not.
But it doesn't look silly.
Exactly.
I mean, it has two top bars, but it doesn't look silly.
Right. You can pretend it's not an e-bike if you want to.
Right.
So anyways, yeah.
Bike Portland. You can zoom past everybody else.
Bike Portland also had some fantastic coverage of the entire Oregon Manifest event, which I didn't get a chance to go to this year. I think our friend David Hetty actually did get to go. He rubbed shoulders and talked to people and yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah, he enjoys that sort of thing, meeting people that make bikes. So, yeah. I went with him, I think, last year. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the year that they had like a bicycle with ram's horns, like actual ram's horns mounted to the handlebars. Mm-hmm. And then the entire frame of the bike was covered in wool. So that was
pretty
awesome.
This wasn't Natalie Ramsland that made that, was it?
I do not remember.
Okay.
It's possible.
Natalie makes Sweet Pea bicycles, but her last name is Ramsland. So
yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Why not? There would be no reason for her not to. Yeah.
She also makes like wool gloves that are threes, like where you've got like, they're called smittens.
Oh, yeah. They're like lobster gloves.
Yeah, they're lobster gloves so that you can like use your brakes. Yeah. But she makes them out of wool. So, you know.
There you go.
I'm just decided that Natalie made this bike in my head.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. And she saved the horns to put on the handlebars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was inspiring. I wanted something like that when I saw it. So anyways, that's that's the end of our news. And Brandon, if you don't mind playing the end of news sounder, we can wrap this whole segment up.
I'm sure I'll find it in a moment.
Fantastic.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
There we go. Well, fantastic. I thought about editing out that silence, and then I just realized it might make people laugh to know that we just sat here and looked at each other while you were finding the audio cut.
We used Dropbox instead.
I was sitting here thinking, man, I finished my beer.
Oh, no. You didn't. It's about time for us to get to break, and I'm going to bring some more beers in.
That's a good point, yeah. Well, let's do that. We'll take a short break here, and then we'll be back on the other side with Lillian, who can tell us a little bit about the Car Free Cities Conference down in Guadalajara that you attended.
Yeah.
You also work with Cycle Wild, so we may get to talking about some
we
of that.
We can find out more about you besides bike jousting.
That's right.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's enough for you.
That's right, yeah.
Sure, I could just talk about Zubom and bike testing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's so many good things happening.
Forget my professional life.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be right back on the other side.
Sounder?
Yeah. Isn't it great? Hey, you might want to hit it again, actually. Well, hang on. I'll introduce it. So we're back on the Sprocket Podcast. I'm Brock. That's Brandon. And we're joined by Lillian Karabic. I mispronounced it again. It's
okay.
It's a strange inflection at the end,
it's
I think.
It's like
that
Care
I
Bear and Bake a Cake.
Yeah.
Karabic.
Okay.
Karabic, yeah.
Oh.
It's Yugoslavian. I don't fault anyone for not pronouncing
it. Oh, it's okay. That's what Brandon's here for, is to speak well.
It's me.
To talk, yeah.
All
right, so.
Yeah.
So before we roll into our conversation with Lillian, we will jump into our mailbag, which is right here. Oh. It should be.
Ah.
You've got mail.
Bam. There we go. Owned.
That's the good news.
So. We've got a donation from Blaine up in British Columbia. He's the guy who he was talking about doing a food podcast, actually. He's been listening to us for some time.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So when we find out when he actually gets started, we'll give you guys some information so you can check it out. But yeah, anyways, he wrote to us last week. He also, I think slightly after the show, he sent us a donation and said, you know, here's some money. And his quote here is, you should be able to buy a 24 of PBR for that, I imagine. Haha. So, anyways, he wants us to get wasted. So
that would make a jolly good episode.
It would. I think actually, I've been thinking to myself about doing a drinking show with us, because we've had a lot of guests on ever since we started the run, but our first couple episodes were just you and I, Brandon, sitting down and talking to each other. And I've been wanting to do that.
And getting lightly inebriated.
Lightly
not
inebriated.
Sincerely inebriated.
Yeah, well, not pissed drunk. Not certainly not blacking out.
No.
But yeah.
It would make for a long episode.
It would.
We'd wake up and there have been 18 minutes of silence.
Exactly. Well, that was fun. All right. We'll see you next week.
Snoring in our own vomit.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it would only be lightly entertaining and only once. So. So yeah, anyways, we'll get buzzed.
I would listen
to
that. Just putting that out there.
Snoring and Vomit. I was in a band actually called Snoring and Vomit.
That must have been awesome.
I played the sitar.
It was a ska band. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Barfing through a saxophone is the coolest thing.
I don't think there's anything
if
else.
If you hit F flat, F major, woo, flies across the room.
I was going to say, I don't think there's anything else you can do with a saxophone, but that's another thing altogether.
Come on.
I don't really like the saxophone. I just got to say it.
Oh.
Yeah.
My roommate led the Joy of Sax ride.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah.
It didn't go that well, but.
Really? Okay.
Theoretically, there were a lot of saxophones.
Well, hey, you would think, in theory, that was exactly what you would want.
Well, if you're from your perspective, a Joy of Sax might be no sax.
You would have a smug satisfaction.
That's right. The joy of no sax.
Lauren's going to hit me when she hears this.
Yeah, sorry. We really love you. We just don't love your saxophone. We got some upcoming shows.
Speak for yourself. I love your saxophone.
Okay. Brandon loves your saxophone.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want your sax. Okay. October 9th, Dave Foyt coming in next week from PortlandEyes.com. He's going to come in and talk with us about all things bicycles in Portland, probably Dutch bikes especially. October 16th, Jill from Zenger Farm. She's going to talk to us about what they do over there. And that'll be our first non-bicycle episode in a long time. But
I'm looking forward to it. I love what they do.
Trying to diversify. And yeah, they are. They're amazing. So our friend Hannah feeds their chickens, every Monday or Tuesday, something like that.
David's wife.
That's right. Actually, yeah, yeah. The famous David Hetty, who rubs shoulders with bike builders. October 30th, Ethan Seltzer of Pedal Power. We're going to successfully record an episode with him, and he'll give us the full lowdown as opposed to the 10-minute micro episode. And then 11:13, Amos Hunter from Bike Temple and other things.
Amos is great.
He's a cool guy. Yeah,
I know Amos quite well.
Awesome. We met him on the first call it, the Portland Sunday Parkways thing. They close the streets and people ride bikes, but they're not naked. But yeah, we bumped into him on our second pass through that route. So anyways.
Should not miss that episode.
Yeah.
Amos is a charismatic dude, if nothing else.
Yeah, he seems
although he's
fun.
Many things. But
yeah, yeah. Well, we're looking forward to having him in. So anyways, those are our upcoming shows. So I think that's all we've got in the manner of business. Would you like some sort of fanfare for yourself, Lillian?
Doesn't one always want that?
I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know what, Brock? I'm going to cut you off here because you only gave me one.
I only gave you one?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Your fanfare is going to be classic movie.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Oh, here it is. We present to you Lillian Karabek of the Bike Portland. Or no, damn.
wah, wah, wah.
It was so good.
You were doing such a good job with the announcer voice.
Of the Portland. Exactly. I fucked it up now. I can't get back.
We should just try it again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us about yourself and what you do.
I had the fanfare and I lost it.
That's right.
So what do? I do a lot of bike stuff in Portland. I used to work for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and I helped run the Bike Commute Challenge for 2 years.
Yeah.
I did Safe Routes to School.
I participated in that. I like
Sweet.
That.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. Hopefully you enjoyed the free pizza and beer at the end.
So. My employer did not notify me of that.
What?
Oh.
We put it on the blog.
Whole Foods.
You follow our blog. Really? You work at Whole Foods?
I worked.
Oh.
That's why we can name them now.
Yeah. Okay.
The Laurelhurst store. I was in the deli.
Do you know Nate Martin?
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a very good friend of mine.
He's a great guy. He dressed as Mario for Halloween last year. It was awesome.
Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Goomba killing motherfucker. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
Anyway, yes. Mutual friends aside. Yeah. What else do? I am the co-host and producer of the Portland Afoot podcast.
That's the one.
And we talk about transit and low car lifestyle, and we do it once a month, and it's like 20 minutes long. And Michael Anderson, who was previously on the show, is the main guy behind Portland Afoot, so he's definitely worth checking out. And what else do? I am the treasurer for Cycle Wild. Which
oh,
is
you are? Okay.
Yeah, which is a group that seeks to reconnect people with nature via the bicycle.
Yeah, I love that, by the way. That's one of the better taglines for an organization, I think.
We worked very hard on our mission statement there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been leading rides for 3 years now, and we lead free bike camping trips, and we also do workshops on bike camping. And they're all within the Portland Ride Shed, which is our term. Coined by our president and founder, Matt Piccio, who's currently on a cross-country trip.
That's right, who actually wrote into the show to clarify the pronunciation of his name.
So. That's very,
very sweet of him.
Very Matt Piccio. he's an awesome guy.
The Cast Iron Cyclist.
The Cast Iron Cyclist, yeah.
.com.
But anyway, we lead lots of rides in the Portland Ride Shed, which is anywhere that you can ride within essentially a day of Portland.
Right. It's about, what, 75 miles, give or take?
Give or take, but we extend it using the Max.
Oh,
so
right.
That really is what kind of pushes us out.
So it's more of an oblong sort of thing than a circle.
Yeah, definitely. But Bagby Hot Springs is one of our common places that we go. We usually go twice a year. We didn't go this year, unfortunately, because Faraday Road is closed.
Oh, yeah. Do you know anything about that? Faraday Road, for anybody who doesn't... go out to Estacada, which probably many people don't. it's this great little spot where otherwise you'd have to go over a huge hill to get out into the Clackamas Wilds.
Huge hill on the highway, no less.
Yeah, which I did 1 year just to see if I could do it. And I didn't know about Faraday Road. Faraday Road, it's still a climb, but it's not nearly as intense, and it's in the shade, and it's by the water. So.
And it's gorgeous, and it's car-free. Mm-hmm. Here's the key fact on it.
That's right.
It's car-free. There's no cars allowed on Faraday Road.
That's right. Just like Southwest Ankeny?
Oh,
also,
yeah.
Also car-free.
Yes. Not anymore, though.
oh, that's
it ends in like a week. I think that was temporary. Yeah, yeah.
Faraday Road, permanent.
Yes, permanent. Unfortunately, regular landslides on Faraday Road. Okay. And they had a landslide this year, so they're going to clean it up by like
Smart
November.
Smart asses. Right, but so. We'll let the bicyclists on this shit. Fuck them up. Dirty liberals.
Fantastic.
But it's a beautiful ride out to Bagby when Faraday Road is open. I don't recommend it as highly when it's not open because you really do have to climb quite a bit.
And how?
But Bagby Hot Springs, the best part is, sure, you do a lot of climbing on your way out there, but none of it is like insane steep hills. And once you get there, you got a hot springs to get in. So,
right. It's like a hot tub, but it's natural.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually in separate little rooms out at Bagby Hot Springs, and you like fill it up from a tap of hot water.
Yeah.
It's all built like, you know, by the Conservation Corps back in the day.
I do miss the old canoe-shaped logs that you used to be able to fill up with water.
Oh.
I think they just took those out the last time
really,
I've been
single,
there.
Really? The single...
They're gone now? They're totally gone?
I think so.
Group
I think
only? What?
The times they are a changing, sir. But yeah, as
if
I understand.
If I want to soak naked and not see a naked fat guy.
You'll have to be in the tub with the naked fat guy now.
Oh, that's such a shame.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're polite, you'll probably ask about the nudity. But have you ever noticed this? I've heard a couple different stories now. Actually, my wife ends up going to hot springs more often than I do. And inevitably, there will always be the old creepy fat guy who's just like, hey, do you mind if I go naked? And, you know, she's with a bunch of folks. And I mean, they're not prudes, but he's, you know, he's a stranger and he's asking. So apparently they have the option. And so they say, well, we'd rather you don't because they're not at that point. But then he acts all like, you know, disappointed, like, oh, well, okay. which it always seems to me like if you're asking if it's okay if you'd be naked, you should totally be okay with a no answer to that.
Yeah,
but,
no, totally.
Yeah.
You
anyways,
get to be a dick about it.
So I used to live in Eugene.
So, yeah.
I used to live in Eugene, and in Eugene you can take a public bus out to Cougar Hot Springs.
Oh, really?
And it runs like three times a day, but you can totally take a bus out there.
Right.
And which is insane. It's the same price as like a normal bus in Eugene, but it goes so much farther than almost anywhere on the bus system.
Yeah.
But the Cougar Hot Springs, there is no, like, you would never ask if you can be naked. Like, there are so many
old
fat hippie guys there that just permanently stay hanging out naked there. As far as I can tell.
And high as a kite probably. All of them. Well,
yes,
too, yeah.
Yes. This is Eugene, Oregon for you.
It's a given, yeah. You have to ask if you can go clothed there,
yeah.
I suppose.
Do you mind if I keep my chunks on?
Yeah. So anyways, you work with Cycle Wild, though.
That's
fun. I did my first Cycle Wild tour in... whenever they went to MacIver.
Cool.
Yeah, like May of this last spring or something
John
like that.
John Kankas, I think, led that one.
Tomas, maybe?
Oh, Tomas.
I believe that's
who
I remember. And like, John might have been there as well. I don't think you were there.
No, I was not.
As far as I recall. So.
That was in the midst of school still for me, so I'm much less likely to go on trips. I actually led the Willamette Scenic Bikeway trip down to Eugene.
Oh, right.
So usually,
did you guys stay with the folks in Scio, Oregon?
Yes.
Those
have
guys
you stayed
are great.
With them before?
Yeah, we stayed with them on our the Team Sincerity. We went down to Crater Lake, and we stopped there on our first night out.
She's amazing. May was the only one there. Her husband was out on a bike trip, cross-country bike trip.
And I can't remember his name now. It was either
George
or Roger.
Roger. May was great. If I can give a shout-out to May, like, she is pretty much the coolest warm showers host that you will ever have in your life.
No kidding, yeah. Warm showers is like the couch surfing for bicycle tourists. It's
unfortunately named.
Indeed.
Yeah, no kidding.
As I think I said early on in our podcasting days, it's not what it sounds like. So, anyways, it's a good thing to know
it's
about.
It's a very classy 1958 way of saying that.
Thank you. I pride myself in my prudence and not saying fuck.
We'll put a beep on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
May, like there was like 10 of us on the trip, I think, maybe 11. And we did it in 2 days, went down to Eugene, then we all took the train back at differing intervals.
Right.
And we stayed at an eco village I used to live at in Eugene.
Ah, I heard about this. That sounded like a great trip. I wish I could have gone.
Oh, it was quite fun. And then we stayed with May in Scio, and we were all so freaking exhausted in Scio.
Yeah.
And by the time we got there, we'd ridden like 70 miles or something. And we got to our place, and Nate, actually, who used to work at Whole Foods, was on the trip as well. And
did he quit?
No, he got to Scio, and he fell flat on the floor.
Oh, goodness. Like inside the house.
Inside the house as soon as he got there. And he's like, you ride bikes. You understand what I'm feeling right now, right? Like, to this woman we've never met, he just, like, kind of fell flat on her floor. But she was totally gracious. She made us all dinner. And we were all planning on camping in her backyard, but she was like, no. Like, right. I mean, if you really want to, you can. But, like, I have a lot of floor space, and you can all just roll your sleeping bags in here. So, oh, it was so decadent. It was
yeah.
great.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said to us. Was basically like, well, you've already had dinner and the sun's gone down and it won't be any fun to set up in the backyard. I think that was Roger. So why don't you just stay inside?
Yeah. Oh, it was lovely. She was great. So, but yeah, but Cycle Wild, most of our trips are not like that. They're mostly weekend trips, like
right.
out and back.
Just one night out.
I'm a big fan of the Stubbs Stewart trip, which is the easiest. If you've ever thought about doing bike camping, what's your experience with Stubbs Stewart?
That is my favorite place to go bike camping. It's such a great spot.
It's great.
I love it.
I kind of started the tradition of doing winter New Year's trips there. So we'll go out there for New Year's Eve and we'll go to stay in the cabins.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's great because it makes you feel slightly hardcore, right? Because mm-hmm. you're like, hey, I'm bike camping.
But then you get to be spoiled.
In late December. But then you get to be spoiled and you only have to ride 22 miles from the Anna Line in Hillsboro.
That's it.
That's how close it is.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
It's 22 miles from the Inland Hillsboro, and most of that is on a bike path through the woods.
The
so you don't even have to deal
bike
with
path,
cars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although one year we went out there for a February bike trip. December. Anyway, whatever it was, there was snow all over the bike path, and it wasn't cleared. Mm-hmm. So we had to ride on the highway all the way out, and we'd like climb up another highway to get there. And we stayed in the cabins, but it was like after snowpocalypse or something. And the highway was totally clear because they clear the highway out there. They have snow plows, but they don't do it in Portland because we're allergic to it.
Sure.
But when we got there, the guy, the ranger that like took our reservation was like, this is so cool. He was like, I might bike to work now.
Right.
You guys have completely changed my worldview.
Like if you can bicycle through snowpocalypse, you can definitely bike to work.
Yeah, no, it was great.
You know, you can actually take the bus to Stubbs Stewart State Park as well.
Really?
Yeah, what? Columbia County Rider operates a line from, I believe it's 158, the max stop out in Hillsboro. Or is it Beaverton there? I think it's that's Hillsboro.
Yeah.
Somewhere in
Merlo Park.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me this. We'll use it in the next like Portland Afoot like
oh, great.
Travel trip.
He has a very encyclical knowledge of all municipal lines.
Yeah.
All
right.
Over the
have
states.
You ever done it up to Seattle?
I have.
I've
yeah.
done
and
it so
actually,
many times.
you guys mentioned that on the last Portland Afoot podcast, and I wanted to be sure that you guys know that there's like two extra bus connections you have to make now. The CAP Rural Transit, which runs from Longview mm-hmm. to formerly to Tumwater, now only runs to Chehalis.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But and it was funny because I had... This is not boring.
This is totally important, Ben.
It is. My commute once a month is to Tacoma, so it's okay.
That's
do you
right.
do it on buses
no,
or
I
have, do you on bike?
I take the train.
So. No train. Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. No, but the Twin Transit is in Centralia and Chehalis, and it actually, they don't have an operating website right now. Like, they're kind of between things, I guess. Maybe between directors,
I
might have
heard.
That's
really helpful.
But I called them up in person and just said, so, tell me about your connections to the CAP shuttle now that it's changed the schedules. And they said, hey, you can get from here to Grand Mound. And then I believe there's another smaller transit, rural transit, I think is just what it's called.
Well,
rural
you can have
transit.
A layover at their Dairy Queen. Which
that's
is
right.
Pleasant.
In Grand Mound. Yeah.
I've eaten at it several times. Blizzards are awesome.
Yes, they are. Also, you can go to the Great Wolf Lodge if you like okay. to water slides and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. That's right up the way.
Yeah.
I've gone to the bar in Longview too many times to count.
Like, is that right?
waiting for the CAP bus. So.
Yeah. I think the connection times are really tightened up with the new schedule.
That's good.
But the trade-off is you can't get to Olympia on one bus. So.
Right.
Anybody outside of the Northwest listening to this is like getting the fast forward at drag forward.
Very click. Possible, yeah. And in the interest of general interest, perhaps we should proceed. But,
okay.
but just wanted to make sure you knew about that.
Okay. No, thank you. That's good information.
Right.
Clearly we need to have it recorded as part of the podcast.
That's right. Let's see here. So we talked a little bit about Cycle Wild. Is there anything else? Like, how long have you been involved with Cycle Wild?
So I've been a ride leader with Cycle Wild for like 2 years now.
Okay.
And I've been on the board for about a year.
Yeah.
I'm actually leading a ride coming up. We're going to do a camping trip out on Savi Island.
Oh,
it's
right.
kind of our last gasp for the season because Savi Island is really close to Portland. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of, you can do it without too much effort. and we're going to go to a corn maze. Nice. I'm from the Midwest, so I have like a deep, deep fondness for corn mazes.
And right. There's a couple of really good ones out on that island.
I know. It's going to be really exciting. So
yeah, and they have plenty of them. Yeah.
Should I tell you guys the gossip about this whole trip? Do you want to know?
Please do. Yeah.
Okay. So we plan our trips really far in advance, like a year in advance for Cycle Wild, right?
Okay.
And a little over a year ago when we were planning these trips, I was still in a relationship with someone who has a friend who has a farm at Savi Island. And the plan was that we were all going to stay at this farm. And I so shouldn't be saying this on a podcast. It's fine.
It's okay. He's not listening.
Probably not. So I get like, you know, and then about a month ago, I was like, man, I really got to arrange this thing. So I sent an email to my ex and I'm like, hey, can you give me your friend's contact at the farm on Savi Island? We need to like make sure we have a place to stay for this trip. And he emails me back. I'm not going to get this totally verbatim, but it was essentially the email back was, well, it's been a while since I talked to Brian, and last time I talked to him, he called me a shithead. He was smiling, but he might not have been kidding, because a lot of people around at the time didn't think so well of me. So I haven't talked to him in a while. And I don't even have his current contact info, so you probably shouldn't use me as a point of reference. But I figure that, you know, I'll probably do better being like, I'm such and such as X.
Oh, there you go. Right. Like, you know, you're on their side again.
Yeah. Because, his email was basically stream of consciousness. Like, he could have said, I'm out of touch.
No.
Try another route.
No, turn but to page instead, 73. He felt like giving me this taste of possibly what's been going on in his life since we split up, you know?
There we go.
And shithead.
And to me, it seems
with
like
a smile.
Well, hopefully, the enemy of my enemy is my friend principle will work in
yes,
your favor.
Yeah, that's the plan, because Savi Island is not fun to ride back from in the dark. So I'm hoping to get an overnight trip.
Right.
So,
although you can, if it's not Sunday, you can take the bus back to Portland.
Right, that's true.
Right,
that's
the true. Line 17.
No. He has to establish
this is why you liked hanging out with Michael Anderson.
That's right.
No, I think they were separated at birth sometimes.
Yeah, you know that the like in Stranger Than Fiction when you have Will Ferrell's character like at the beginning of the movie, he's like seeing things and like numbers are popping up around his head and that whole thing. That's kind of how my brain operates. Like whenever anybody talks about like transit or you know bike routes or that sort of thing, I just have this like snaking like you know just like
a beautiful mind.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. It's all kind of just like turning into this graphic next to my head. So, yeah.
I'm very envious.
Oh, thanks.
Like,
you mean you don't have graphics next to your head?
Not a bus line. Okay. The challenge is that I'm at Reed, and like, since I'm this like person who lives outside of campus, I must be so cosmopolitan to most Reed students, and they're always asking me for advice on how to get places. I'm like, I can give you precise bike directions. I have no freaking idea how you get there on transit.
The line 19 is all you know, all you need know.
Well, the 72 leaves Reed as well, I believe.
Possibly. Once again, general interest. We should probably move on.
Okay, moving along.
No, we'll talk later.
What other bike stuff are we going to talk about?
I was actually going to ask about the Guadalajara experience. Oh, yeah. That was a terrible pronunciation. The Guadalajara experience that you just had.
Yeah.
Your South of the Border adventure to the Car-Free Conference.
It was
Car-Free
amazing.
Car-Free Cities Conference, yeah.
I think I'm legally obligated to say that it was in part supported by Reed College.
Is that right?
Yeah, they paid the conference and Reed College paid for me to go down there.
This podcast brought to you by...
Brought to you by the
Reed College,
like William Mintz Fund at the Economics Department of Reed College, or something like that. But it was amazing. I flew down there, and I got down there at like 11:30 p.m. and I got picked up at the airport. So I tried to take transit from the airport because I like to take transit whenever I'm in a new city.
Sure.
And I said this on the Portland Foot podcast, but I asked about like what transit I could take from the airport to the organizers, and they were like, "We want you to have a good impression of our city, so we're going to pick you up from the airport." And so anyway, I got picked up at the airport and got taken straight to a party. And this is how the rest of the conference went, as far as I could tell.
Just party to party?
Well, we dropped my stuff at the hotel for like 5 seconds, and then I went to this party, and I was standing in the street, and I never made it into the party because the party was really in the street. And every time my Tecate was empty, I got handed a new Tecate by people I didn't even know.
That's a dream right there. That's exactly how life should be.
And then, so I ended up meeting Noah, who's the acting director, assistant director at Transformational Alternatives in New York. He was out there. I was out there and ended up running into people that work with my parents on bike stuff in Cincinnati.
Is that right?
Just moved to Guadalajara, strangely enough. So I had mentioned out loud that I was from Cincinnati, Ohio, and someone shouted from across the bike racks in English, Cincinnati? and she was like, are you Sheryl Crow's daughter? And it was just my mother's name. Not Sheryl Crow, the singer. And I was like, yes. So
the first cut is not necessarily the deepest.
The first guess is not necessarily the best.
So it was really exciting. I met all these people from the States, and I also met all these amazing activists from Mexico, and they kept feeding me tequila the whole time I was there. Every night was just a tequila fest.
Blanco, that's... añejo, or reposado?
Yeah. That's pretty great.
Who fucking cares? It's tequila.
All of it, man. Yeah. I tried everything. We went on a historical cantina tour, which was justified as a cultural experience as part of the conference, but was really just...
This cultural tour brought to you by...
was really just a...
The William Young Foundation.
Tour of bars. And yeah, it was lovely. We all had t-shirts that said like all the names of the bars on the back with check boxes next to them. And we got checked off at each bar that we went to.
So each shirt was slightly different then.
Yeah.
Depending on how long you stayed in the tour.
Exactly. And it
or
ended,
how high your tolerance
we didn't
is.
Even, we didn't actually even make it to the fifth bar. There were five bars in the tour. We didn't make it to the fifth bar because it was too late. Like the bars were closed.
Oh, sure.
And the fourth bar we were at, somehow we had managed to take over an entire floor of the bar as a conference. And someone had managed to, get like a tequila blanca, like large bottles of it, and was just pouring shots down people's throats.
Wow.
And so I got to watch a very cute Swedish girl get like a whole like two shots of tequila poured down her throat in front of me. It was
quite
fun.
Weird.
That's intense. So these car-free enthusiasts really know how to party.
They know how to party.
Yeah.
But they also know a lot about bike activism.
All right.
So
lest you think that alcohol was the primary thing that happened here.
Alcohol and bikes, they always go together, right? Yeah, yeah. So they run, the same people that ran the conference, run this amazing bike share system called Bicla, which is a bike share system that is the only one in the world that's run entirely by citizen activists.
I remember you mentioning this. Yeah, yeah. This is pretty exciting.
No, so like everywhere else in the world, these bike share systems that exist, like in Montreal and Paris and DC, soon to be in Portland, so far, are like public-private partnerships.
Sure.
And the government has like a significant investment in them, right?
Right.
And most of them are supported by advertising, mm-hmm. and they have these huge contracts with Clear Channel. Which for what it's worth, like it's great that there's 10,000 extra bikes on the street of Montreal, but
sure.
There are also like 5,000 ads on the street. Right. Of Montreal.
It could be better. It could be simpler. You wouldn't have to look at whatever television show is coming up next week.
Right. Exactly. And, the Bicla system, they actually went to private businesses and private businesses choose to buy a bike rack of Bicla bikes because they want to have bikers exposed to their business.
Right. You were saying it's good advertising. Like right. Instead of placard advertising, you just have like, hey, there's bikes and oh, hey, I do need a beer. It's right over there.
Right. Exactly.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to go into the business to be able to check out the bike.
Oh, really?
That's one of the key things, right? Hmm. So it's these other ones, you have a swipe card like at the stand or something, but the way they have it set up is very low infrastructure. So they've got these bike racks in front of the business. And then you have a card that you have to check out a bike. You have to go into the business and they check you out on the website.
So I'll take a key to a bike and a tequila, please.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or a hotel, you know, like you see the hotel or you like are at a convenience store and you buy a snack or whatever. Like mm-hmm. they've got this exposure. And some of those businesses are in it less for the fact that they're gaining customers and more for the fact that it's just this goodwill towards biking. But most of them are in it because it really is this great like capitalist opportunity for them to gain exposure.
And apparently it works or there wouldn't be so many of them.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, they're awesome. They have about three quarters or half as many bikes as a lot of these systems do in other cities. They have about half as many bikes in Guadalajara as we're getting in Portland.
Okay.
But it's entirely run by citizen activists and it didn't take like 7 years to build like our system that we've been claiming we're going to get
here in Portland. Yeah. We've been talking about it for some time.
Forever. And we've had, what, 3 failed attempts now where they're like, no, really, this time we're going to
right.
get it. And they, in Guadalajara, they recognize that the government is never going to do this on their own. Because they essentially, like, the whole conference was about, like, yeah, the government is never going to catch up
to
anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, unless you build it, they won't come,
right,
basically.
Right. And they're very, the government in general is very corrupt in Mexico, right?
So sure.
That's sort of their... their thing.
that's their selling point. They're correct.
Weird.
Well, so, just as far as Guadalajara is concerned, as a bicycling city, what is it like? Is it easy to bike there?
Okay, no, a lot of cars. They have one of the highest incomes in Mexico, so they have a lot more cars. Their cars have grown by 10 times in the past, like, 10 years. It's freaking crazy.
Wow.
That's a number.
It's
quite an exponent.
It's insane. And because of that, they're just, there's a lot of cars on the road and there's not that great of infrastructure. And the roads are really bumpy. Apparently there's a monopoly and there's only one concrete provider for the entire city.
Oh, really?
They have no incentive to make good concrete. it was such a great capturing of, like, the corruptness in Mexico. And they're like, yeah, the reason the streets suck is because there's only one company that does concrete and they have no incentive to make it good.
Amazing.
Competition. Yeah. We could use some invisible hand right now. Shit. I don't even like that thing, but it could really help.
Yeah.
These roads you have, it'd be a shame if something happened to them.
But there are side streets for sure. And they have a cycle track.
Uh-huh.
They have a cycle track in Guadalajara.
Okay.
It's a kind of a pain in the butt because it's, like, up on the sidewalk. It's, like, higher than the street, right? So you're
and
up on it.
And that one company made it.
And
so.
Then, and it's kind of crap concrete.
All right.
And then every street, you have to get down off the cycle track and then back up on it on the next block.
Oh, that does
so
sound.
It's like riding on the sidewalk, essentially, only it's. Supposed to be cycle track.
It's a cycle walk.
La cycle track.
Yeah. Okay.
And they have a subway and they have buses and I don't know. It was interesting, but it is they've got a long way to go, but their activists are so committed and so amazing down there.
Yeah.
I met this great group of high school students that lead the Route de Ciencias.
Yeah, you had some great sound bites from them, actually.
Yeah.
You go to pdx.be/podcast, you can hear them.
Right, exactly. So check out the Portland Afoot podcast.
Yeah.
And you can hear about Route de Ciencias, these high school students that, like, lead rides every week.
So. Yeah. Well, are you inspired? Do you feel like after having had the experience, do you feel like things could get better? There are action steps that Portlanders could take to improve their own city or anyone else?
I think we should do our own bike share. Honestly, right. I walked away from that being like, they had so much trouble, you know, they had to fight to find like 10 businesses to host bike racks. And I can think of 10 businesses in my neighborhood that would be willing to host bike racks.
They're sure. Waiting in line.
Yeah.
For...
Well, they're waiting in line for these on-street corrals in Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you said, hey, we'll give you bike parking and we'll give you a corral, like, I think you could get people into it. I don't have the time, but someone has the time. There are so many unemployed people in Portland.
Sure.
Someone has the time to make this happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And they're not getting their tequila for free here. So.
Right. Well, and I think the key thing is that this bike sharing that we're getting in Portland is only going to be downtown.
Right.
And that is not where 90% of 95% of people in Portland live. So
no, if you could you see something
well,
like that happening.
It's already got a suitable bike infrastructure with all due respect to right. it. Like, it's not perfect. It's not, you know, but it's okay.
Right, right, and yeah. Out where you guys live, less true.
Yeah. Try it out here. Try it up at Gateway. Like, that could be more fun.
They don't know the meaning of the word infrastructure here in Lentz, but what can you do?
Yeah. We sometimes have sidewalks.
Sometimes. Yeah. Well, is there anything you want to kick in, Lillian, before we close out the whole show?
Oh, I don't know. Do you guys want to talk about World Naked Bike Ride or anything? Or
sure.
Or
I mean,
Shift?
Yeah. Yeah, well, tell us about Shift. We've kind of talked about the Naked Bike Ride already.
Yeah, so
but,
far, we've been no Shift.
Indeed.
You've not talked about Shift at all?
Yeah, we got it. Well, we don't know anybody yet.
It was a pun, like, no shit.
Indeed.
All
we know about Shift, shift2bikes.org,
yeah.
is that Jonathan Moss was lurking there for some time, is what he said.
Yeah, well, I mean, Shift is is like the backbone of all bike fun culture in
Portland. It is. I think I called it the Craigslist of Portland when we were talking about it there.
That's a good, you know, it's slightly more cold than Craigslist. Sure. But
it is user submissions and people.
I like to think of it as open source rather than Craigslist, right?
Sure. It's more like the Wikipedia of bicycles in Portland.
Yeah, exactly. A little less money.
Fewer missed connections.
Although the shift list does sort of.
Enough about a bicycle, would you?
Yeah. The shift list does sort of have missed connections. But shift is composed of two things, the website and the mailing list. And mailing list is shift at list.riseup.org. And it has been around for a really long time.
Okay.
And going on 8-9 years now.
Yeah.
And it is sort of, if you want to find a house with people that ride bikes, or if you want to lead a ride and get people to show up at the rides, or if you want to have a bike move where people move all your stuff from your house to a new house on bikes, the shift list is a place to post it on.
Because there's tons of people with bikes and they'd love to help you move your stuff from one house to another.
No, it's totally true.
It's pretty
true.
Cool.
It's kind of amazing. I actually, 'tis the season, but I had a Halloween bike move 3 years ago.
Oh, there we go.
And I moved into a geodesic dome that I built myself. And I had it on Halloween, like after work. It was a Friday. And everybody dressed up in costumes. And I had very little stuff because I had been living pretty simply for a long time.
Sure, and you were moving into a dome.
And so. I was moving into a 10-foot geodesic dome.
Right.
Therefore, not a lot of stuff. So people were fighting over stuff. Like, there was
I want the futon.
The largest piece of furniture was like a not very big dresser, and the person with the extra cycle got it, and then the person with the 8-foot long trailer had like one bag in the middle of it. It was really fun. We went through all these trick-or-treaters, and then we came to my house and I fed everybody like cornbread and chili and pumpkin ale, and then we went to turned into a Halloween party crawl.
Well, there you go.
It was like the perfect bike move. So
no fool,
that's not a bad. So if you want to get in on something like that, it's shift2bikes.org.
Yeah. Shift2bikes.org. And you can do it to the number or to the word. Either one works.
Oh, good. That's good to have multiple URLs just in case.
Yeah. People have been lovingly donating them to us for years. Like mythical anonymous people have been donating.
Is that
like,
right?
The Pedalpalooza. The Pedalpalooza.org. Like we run
Pedalpalooza. Shift this. Runs. I should buy it for them.
Shift runs Pedalpalooza too. And right. So like someone we don't know has the Pedalpalooza.org URL.
And it
like,
just points to your
lovingly
site.
Lovingly points us to it. Oh,
there are good people everywhere.
Yes.
I hope karma catches up with them and gives them a big, fat, sloppy kiss.
You should check out Shift. I do the Bowie versus Prince ride and the Gaga versus Madonna ride. Oh,
I rode that one this year. It was exciting.
Oh, cool. You did the Bowie versus Prince?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, this year it was someone else that led it.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Dante led it.
Diablo. See the guy, Diablo. The guy with the big red trike.
He's a crazy trike with all these
the devil horns.
Like you can't get it up a very small hill because it's so big.
You know, I saw him at a bus stop the other day on my commute home from work. It was like he was there, I assume, with his daughter, unless he babysits or something.
Yeah,
but,
his daughter, yeah.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird to see him like kind of out of character and out of context. And I was like, it almost like felt like looking away like, oh. But yeah.
He brought his daughter to the Harry Potter ride
that's
that I
great.
Led for the release of the last Harry Potter film. And to me, it was sort of like, whoa. He also had a bunch of bubbles, and when we were waiting in line with the thousands of Harry Potter fans waiting in line at the Lloyd Center, he was like blowing bubbles and had like wands, and everybody thought he was the coolest person
that's
ever.
That's fantastic. Well, he really is the coolest guy ever.
He's a really cool guy.
That's awesome.
Well, shall we wrap this up, Brandon?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. Do it.
Let's do it, you know what I'm saying?
You can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. That's where you find our blog and all the other good things, pictures, etc. You can send us feedback. Tell us what you want. Topics, guests, drinks, anything else?
Yeah, fuck it.
Okay. Anything you've got at all. Advertisements. The email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us your stories on our voicemail line, 503-847-9774. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane, soon to be father, if not at this point now a father, providing our theme music. You can find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. Thanks to Hurt Bird for our headline sounder there at hurtbirdmusic.com. This has been the Sprocket Podcast. Bye.